5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. If you guys miss any portion of the show, we got podcasts available via thewholeshow.com or 1310kfka.com. So if you missed my chat with Kevin Lytle earlier, you do not want to miss that. Breaking down at least what we know at this point of Joe Parker and Colorado State moving on from Steve Addazio. Crazy times, man. Just absolutely very interesting. I am shocked. I am shocked by this. I think I would have been somewhat disappointed if this didn't happen, but I still felt like Joe was going to go with the whole, you know what, we got to give him more than a year and a half. We got to go there. I thought he was going to do it. I think this was the, ultimately, this was the right move because you can't, you can argue about Steve Addazio until you're blue in the face if you want. Not many are, but if you want, this is a business, is it not? College football is big business, and even though CSU is not Alabama, it's still business. You have a $222 million stadium there that even before Addazio, you were like not getting sellouts. I don't know how many sellouts have they had. Crowd support was pretty good right off the bat for CSU this year. And then as you saw the season dwindle away, so did the fan support. And that's something that you have to take seriously. Like, big time seriously. Because ultimately, you keep going down that trajectory of losing fan after fan after fan. You're not just talking about firing Joe Parker. You're talking about perhaps not having a football program. Seriously, I know that's where it could go. That's where it starts to go. If there's nobody supporting it, which again, that would take an awful lot for that to happen because you have the stadium. But the time is going to be now to start building this program. And I know that's, again, that's what Steve Addazio was saying is, hey, you know, we're going to build this thing brick by brick. Parker was kind of buying it for a little bit. And at the end of the day, decided not to. Angel, do you have that chat? Joel Cantalamessa caught up with Joe Parker. I sent that. I don't know if you got it in. It was late. It's interesting because, again, Parker 4 weeks ago was on a Ram Nation podcast, and we had Joel on actually to talk about it. Of course, a lot of Rams fans ripped Joel to shreds saying he was a Parker bootlicker, which is absurd. He's not. You can't get those interviews if you bring them in and you just start grilling them. You can't. Sorry. That's not how it works. Sometimes fans just want to, like, rage out on ADs and coaches and players, and it's like, you do realize if we do that on a regular basis, our reputation is shot, and we're not allowed ever to get interviews on the station. You have it? Okay, let's. How long is it? Do you want to play some of it back?
Sure, it's about 40 seconds.
Okay, play it back.
It is, you know, people just have to get accustomed to, you know, the pain and suffering that occurs when you're losing because you know, continuity is a big part of having success in intercollegiate athletics. I mean, you know, you're talking about football a moment ago. For those fans that think a change in leadership in our football program at this moment in time is going to be a good thing, they have no idea how to build a program because there's so much disruption and so much new progression that needs to take place to get to that point. That's why, you know, the measures have to be more than wins and losses, particularly when you're early in a leadership team.
I don't disagree with what he said, Angel. A lot of people are. I saw former Coloradoan guy, was it Matt Stevens, tweeted out, hey, this is a complete contradiction. What he put in his press release today is a complete contradiction from that statement earlier in the, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. Now, I'll just say this. What did Joe Parker just say? It's not ultimately measured by wins and losses. And I agree with him on that. I think that Parker was probably skeptical after seeing some outbursts and some rough games late in the season. I do think it's possible that Saturday's situation was so bad that you couldn't turn your head anymore. If they would have just got blown out 52-10 and Adazio finishes that game and doesn't get thrown out, is he still the head coach for the CSU Rams?
It's hard to imagine that, just because that was kind of the icing on the cake for him. I think also losses to Arizona or Air Force and Wyoming, your rivalry games, that's huge. It might not mean a lot, wins and losses, but when the fan base isn't there to support it, it's obvious. And it was obvious.
It was obvious. So you, okay. So the lack of fan support Saturday night, 52-10 to Nevada, which was a 3-point spread. And then the ejection. So, I mean, you look at the, how often does a football coach get ejected from a game?
It's not, you don't see it a lot. You don't see a head coach.
You see basketball, but you don't see football. So I to be fair to Joe Parker on this, things can change. And I think when you saw that Saturday, that's what Joe's looking at. Fan support, ejection, blowout. End of the season 3-9. I mean, those are four big things that you're looking at. This was his quote in the press release. And again, Joe Parker is scheduled to meet to have a press conference today at 2:00. I'll see if I can log in and watch that and tweet out some of the things that catch my attention. This is the press release that CSU sent out earlier today. And here's the quote from Joe Parker. "The decision we made today is not one we take lightly. I am grateful to Steve Adazio and his coaching staff for their steadfast commitment to our student athletes, both athletically and academically, to developing men of high character and reinvigorating our locker room with a culture of toughness and accountability. However, after a thorough review of where our program stands today and our outlook for the future, looking at the totality of factors, I felt this was a necessary step. Our expectation is to compete for conference championships and reach bowl eligibility each season." Yeah, there you go. That's where it does feel like it's a little contradictory of what he was saying 4 weeks ago, because it was like, you got to be patient, and da-da-da. Now it's like, we expect to be competing for a conference championship and reach bowl eligibility each season. It's a little different. Our student athlete, the quote goes on, "Our student athletes deserve that. Our fans deserve that. Our community deserves that. And our university deserves that. We live in one of America's best cities, serve a world-class university, and I am confident we will find a stalwart leader who can meet those expectations head on." Now, I was asked by Tanner on NoCo Now this morning, if fans should have confidence in Joe Parker to make this next hire. I mean, I'm not going to blame you if you say no. We all scratched our heads at the Adazio hire. I seriously think that this whole search committee thing is silly. I think you just need to go with Tony Alford if he would be willing to take the job, and I don't know that he is. I don't know what the cost would be. But you need the fan support. And I have seen way more on Twitter about, and again, it's Twitter. I know. I sound like a teenager when I say this. But in fairness, Angel, teenagers aren't on Twitter anymore. They're on TikTok and whatever.
Yeah, Twitter is like 25 to 45 maybe.
Twitter is news now. Twitter, I mean, whether you want to believe it all or not, but that's where people break news. That's where Kevin Lytle broke this story this morning, was on Twitter. So you do get a feel, and I get in the Ram Nation chat room, and there's thousands of Rams fans on there. So, yeah, I kind of get a good feel for a large group of Rams fans. 14 minutes after the hour, we're gonna get a quick break. We got Ellison Hubbard joining me, former Colorado State Ram, long-term Ram, beloved Ram by many fans. He entered the transfer portal after the Iowa game. We're going to talk to him next. Don't go anywhere.
Someone's winning $1,000 this year with KFKA's Cash for Christmas. Find out how at 1310kfka.com.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310KFKA.
Just 18 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, and great friend of mine, great friend of the station's, former Colorado State Ram, Ellison Hubbard. Ellison, my friend, appreciate you giving us some time, man.
Hey, Brady. I'm glad to be back. It's been forever since I've been on the show. How you been?
Hey, more importantly, how's that fantasy football team of yours?
Man, you know what? I'll go ahead and put it out there. I'm 4-8. It's really sad. It's not going the way I wanted it to, but what can you do when Derrick Henry is on IR?
I mean, that was what got me into a championship last year was Derrick Henry. So, I wanted to give you crap about it, but when you draft Derrick Henry, your whole team kind of revolves around that guy. So I feel for you, my friend.
I know, and I made so many, substitutions and putting guys on the bench, and then one week you have a guy who does absolutely horrible, and then the next week he's scoring 30 points, and you're like, well, why didn't you do that the last week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, trust me. I'm there every single year, no question about it. Ellison, where are you these days, my friend?
So I'm in Georgia right now, just spent a little vacation with my family, and I plan to come back up Saturday just to clear the rest of my things out of the house and, make that transition to Sam Houston State.
That's the news, huh?
Yes, sir. That's the news.
Congratulations, my friend. I know to get you on. And, yeah. Susan and Cheryl like that. You remember them.
I remember that.
All right, so you're obviously following this situation, you being a long-term Ram. And I know the day we had you on, the day you entered the transfer portal, Ellison, you didn't have many negative things to say about Colorado State. One of the things that you said, though, was that you didn't really talk to Steve Addazio.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really talk to him, and I don't know, maybe it's just a connection that maybe couldn't be formed or what the case may be, but I never really had a relationship with Coach Addazio.
Is that strange to you?
Yes, I think it is strange for a head coach not to try and connect with all his players, no matter the race or ethnicity or whatever the case may be. I think it is a little strange that you had guys that, you wanted to come back, that you at least try to connect with him because, you asked him to come back and play for you.
Well, especially you being a team leader. I mean, you were with this program for a while, of course, and everybody knew your name, and you, of course, wanting to break into the media world once your football career is over. So you break it into that. You were going to Denver. You knew all the players throughout the state of Colorado, and so I thought that was an interesting thing when you first told me that, because at the very least you're a good connector to the state of Colorado as far as Rams fans.
Yeah, I definitely believe, I've set a mark on being a good connection for at least people I know that want to play football, maybe at Colorado State or another school, and then just having good relationships with people. I think I've done a pretty good job at that. Like I said, when I hit the portal, it was just sad to have to pack up and leave, but, I had to do what was best at that moment.
It was just so interesting with you, Ellison, because, again, you will forever be known as the very first player on the KFKA Player Network, and you were pretty optimistic about the season, about the coaching staff, about your D-line coach and, of course, everything going into it. And then, as the season kind of progressed, your playing time fell down, and you were kind of like, what's going on here?
Exactly. And I, now that I think about it, I wanted to like in the spring, I was hesitant because the year before, the COVID year, I was not too happy about the playing time there either. I lost my starting position, and I didn't even play the first game, if not many people noticed. I didn't play the first game against Fresno, but maybe like 7 snaps, and the rest was after we were already getting blown out by Fresno. So it was kind of saddening from there, and then I was like, do I want to continue to be a Ram, or do I want to transfer? And I had that small decision in my head in May, what should I do? And then, the D-line coach said, yeah, you're going to play here. You're going to be a top pass rusher. You're going to do all this. So that's what left me to stay. And then, then I had to make that call after not playing a single snap against Iowa as my final game.
Oh, yeah, because you and I had talked in the offseason leading up to the season, of course, about how, the coaches talked to you about your the twitch and the stuff that you had, the right stuff as far as being, an NFL-caliber guy. And then as you talked about it, as the season progressed, those talks kind of went away.
Yeah, they did go away. And it kind of became, you're doing this to yourself. You're not playing, as hard as you need to be getting on the field. And I just was like, what do I do from here? Do I just continue to let that be the case and then you know, stay, or do I just, you know, maybe all these talks will just go away if I just, you know, left and went to a new place.
What was your relationship like with the quote-unquote Adazio guys? You know, we always say this when coaches come in, there's the old regime, the new regime. What was your relationship like with those guys?
With the new guys?
Yeah, with the players, yeah, the new players that came in through the transfer portal.
Yeah, so, you know, I had a decent relationship with some of those guys, actually. You know, being able to – I talked to Scotty, and I kind of got to get close with Scotty. And then Cam Reddy, I was cool with Cam Reddy. Me and him went against each other at practice, and I was making him better as he was making me better. And Karutz and Toddy, you know, I kind of got cool with those guys as they got – you know, they came and became a part of the team. So I felt I became a good player, a good player to them, and a good player, you know, for me as well, just to be able to make friends with people that came from a completely different, you know, school atmosphere. And, you know, it just sucked that I wasn't able to continue that with them, but just to be able to have that relationship with them will carry on, you know, for years to come.
So are you surprised by this news today, Ellison?
You know, I'm not too surprised by this news because, you know, I keep up on Twitter a lot. And to see all the fans come together and want somebody gone was pretty impressive to me.
Well, I mean, it says a lot. And I know it's strange sometimes to say, well, Twitter's speaking up. But that's where people break their news. You broke news on Twitter. I mean, that's what people do now is they use Twitter. So when you see a large fan base constantly tweeting out the negatives and what they don't want to see anymore, you tend to start paying attention.
Exactly. And for me and Marcus to enter the transfer portal after being here for 5 years and for being here so long, it kind of shocked the world. And then, you know, I'm sure for Adazio on the staff, they didn't want that to happen because they know that will blow up. But, you know, now that happened, he kind of had to try to make that go away and kind of build that narrative of we'll build it brick by brick and, you know, all of this other thing. So, I mean, he was just on the news from the start.
Did you pay much attention to some of those press conferences recently that talked about how, you know, when I got here, there was so much work to be done? And if so, did that bother you knowing that, hey, we're talking about a lot of, you know, probably maybe not directly, but former players, former coaches, former program?
Yeah, Brady, you know, when I started listening to this, I knew from the jump he was in a pickle. He didn't know what to do because with the first thing, and I don't know if many people remember, is we're bringing guys back. We building a team to win a championship. We have a team to win a championship. We have veterans. We had guys who played. We have guys who know what to do. And then all of a sudden, when things started to go downhill and not, you know, form out the way he said it was going to be, it's a brick by brick with building a foundation for years to come. Well, this is, if you look at Blake Anderson, if you look at these other coaches that came in here and now in a Mountain West championship or now have winning programs, how much more do you need to build a program when you have veterans? You know, you have as many veterans as you can have to win a Mountain West title, if not be able to go to a bowl game. So it was just, you know, frustrating for me to hear that. But at the time, I knew he just wasn't ready to be a coach here at Colorado State.
It for whatever reason, it ultimately just didn't seem like a great fit. Kevin Lytle of the Coloradoan had pointed out that, hey, the Boston market is so much different. Boston market is so much different than what it is here. For better or worse, it's a way different feel. It's not necessarily, it's kind of a small town feel where people really do want to be connected to a coach. There are Ellison, you probably know of places where it's fine. We don't need to be connected with the coach as much, but as long as they're winning, we really don't care. Well, the problem was here, the winning wasn't happening and the connection wasn't happening.
Exactly. And I, you know, when I've seen he, you know, people were saying he's making the reporters feel stupid, like they don't know football, and then to not really, you know, listen to the fans, or he's just the smartest guy in the world. That's kind of what he was putting off, or what he was putting off. And that just was the connection that can never be built between football and between the fans that want to come watch the game. And when you're seeing donors, you know, saying, I'm not going to pay to watch any more CSU football with him back there, then you know that's a sign to get him out of here.
Now, Ellison, I asked this question because you were a team leader for quite a while there for Colorado State. Did you have a relationship with Joe Parker much?
Yeah, I had a small relationship, nothing crazy. You know, I'd be able to talk to him, have a little conversation here or there. And so I had a little conversation with Joe Parker, you know, whenever I would see him, and just he'll check up on me, and then I'll just see how things are going. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I had with him.
So from what you've seen or witnessed, how would you rate, you know, how would you rate Joe Parker's job? Again, none of us here know everything that goes into his job, but just from your mm-hmm. perspective, how would you say he's done?
I would say that he's done, you know, pretty decent. I wouldn't say it was, you know, spectacular out of the water. You know, because I believe he got here and hired Bobo as his first hire, if I'm not mistaken. And so, you know, having Coach Bobo here was not a bad idea. You know, he wants to be a head coach, and usually you hire new guys to come in because they want to show that they can be a head coach. And, you know, unfortunate for him, he wasn't able to put the pieces together. And so then I can see the idea of we want a head coach with experience so, you know, they can take over and build the program. But to hire a guy who just got fired and to hire him literally months later, I just doesn't think it was a smart idea to jump right into there and be like, yeah, we need him right away. I think you should have done a little bit more research on a guy who's won championships as being a head coach. And, you know, I think he could have went a little bit slower with that process rather than just, you know, picking candidates that were kind of, you know, scary, in my opinion.
We're talking to Ellison Hubbard, former Colorado State Ram. Got a couple of texts for you. We'll get to those in a moment. Ellison, did you – I don't know if you saw or if you heard about what happened Saturday, of course, losing to Nevada 52-10. But Adazio gets ejected in that game 28 to nothing at that point before the half hits. And most of us are kind of thinking maybe that was the final – you know, the last straw for Coach Adazio. So what are your thoughts there?
So, it was hard for me to watch kind of CSU's football games the last couple of weeks after I went to San Jose. But I've watched them play Nevada, and that senior night, it's your seniors. One, it's okay, maybe it might be Thanksgiving, but to not have that many fans there, that was kind of saddening. But then two, to not stay on that field with the seniors and to have arguments, because I don't believe that he didn't say anything and got ejected. I don't think he had that much hate from refs as Coach Bobo did, you know, because I know not many people were fond of Coach Bobo after years of just how he was. You know, so I think for him to get ejected on a senior night when the seniors, are, you know, that came back to play for you, I think that was a sign. Like, you know, he was done, and you know, Joe Parker and the whole fan base is done, because as I've seen all over social media, it's not good. The last time we've seen Coach Adazio, you know, was him running into the tunnel and, you know, this, that, and the other. It just was very saddening for that. And then they get beat 52-10. It was just, you know, very, very saddening.
Tough way to go out. You had a decent relationship with the McBrides too, and I know that was a tough thing to see those guys. Again, Trey's probably going to be a first round pick, and we'll see what happens with Toby. I think he could play next level too, but I know that had to be tough.
That was tough to see that, you know, Toby's been here for so long, been through so much with injuries, and then, you know, he came back to play with us and his brother, and then for him to go out like that 3-9 again, that wasn't what he was sold or told by the coaching staff. And just, you know, I'm hurting for him, and I'm hurting for Trey, because, you know, I believe Trey should have had more touchdowns. It probably would be a for sure, you know, he's going to win that award. But for him now, you know, I'm not saying he won't win it, but I don't know, you know, how that's going to look out, because, you know, touchdowns are very, very valuable, you know, in this day and age. So I just wish it would have been better for the McBrides. You know, I wish that they could have had a winning season. And, you know, even if it wasn't a championship, a bowl game, that's what I just wish for them.
Ellison Hubbard joining us, former Ram. Last one for you, Ellison, and then I'll just read a couple of nice texts to you. So at the beginning, let me just go back again one more time. Did the coaching staff, Adazio and company, lead this team like you guys, hey, we can compete for a Mountain West championship this year, get to a bowl game this year, beat our rivalries this year? Was that kind of, again, the coaches aren't going to tell you we're not going to lose, we're not going to win games, but was that the real belief by this team going into the season?
That was the belief. That was the belief. As soon as that season ended in 2020, that was the belief that we are good enough to win the Mountain West Championship. We have all the pieces to win the Mountain West Championship. Even after we started 1-3, we had that in our mind that we are going to go to a Mountain West Championship, that we can go to a bowl game. And as you can see, that changed from what we can do to now we're building brick by brick.
And that changed probably what? We had the Utah State, Boise, right around the Boise State game.
Yeah,
going
right around there.
Yeah, and that's why I was curious, because you're right. It did go from high expectations to brick by brick, and it doesn't matter if we lose the next two games. We're still building brick by brick.
Exactly.
Interesting, my man. Well, I'm happy that you're in Georgia, but I'm bummed because we got a Madden tournament coming up in about a month or two, and I was going to see if you wanted to be involved in that. But you're a busy guy, and we got a texter here from John from Spokane. Says, Ellison, I'm so happy for your new endeavors. I met you and your family after the Oregon State game several years ago. That would have been the first game in the new stadium then, probably, right?
Yeah, it was. Wow.
Says, thank you for not transferring to Boise. Congratulations. And God bless.
Oh, yeah. You know, I wasn't going to go play on that blue field. And I had Utah State fall with me, but I don't think I could have mustered up to go to Utah State and play there. That just would have been a downgrade from where I was in Fort Collins to going to play in, what is it, Logan, Utah?
Yeah. Is it set? And I'm just going to ask this. You can just say no comment. Is it set in stone? Because I'm seeing Twitter and there are people saying, I wonder if Ellison would consider coming back to Colorado State.
I would say it's set in stone, but, you know, I would love to talk. If they hire Tony Alford, I would love to talk to him and see what he has set. But, you know, I lost all optimism, because when you hire a search party, I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Because if you know that Tony Alford should be the next guy, because people are saying they're going to flood the seats, and then you need a search party, it's not certain that you're going to hire him.
Yeah.
He might just be another, you know, hey, Tony Alford might be the guy, but really we're going to go look for somebody else.
Yeah, I'll admit, when I saw the search party thing, it shattered my hopes a little bit, because I would like to see Tony Alford as well. This one from another John, this on the Twitter side of things. This guy is a great interview, well-spoken and great perspective. Well, you want to get into the media side, so Ellison, you are pretty damn good at this.
Thank you. I'm trying. See, at Sam Houston State, they have a walk-on radio, so if you guys do want to hear more of me, I will be on Walk On Radio. They have plenty of episodes out now, so you'll be able to hear them. And they're moving into Conference USA. I don't know if they'll be able to move in now, but there's a transition period, so they'll be there in a couple years playing at Conference USA. So,
well, maybe you can you can share some of those episodes too on Twitter, and we'll follow along with you. Ellison, my man, congratulations. Like I said, we've talked about you a lot on the program well after your time with us, and you were our first KFK player network guy, and it was an honor to work with you, man. We know the situation, though. You entered the transfer portal. It was best for you. We were bummed, of course, but we appreciated your time so much. So many people talk so highly of you. You'll forever be certainly one of those Rams that I think that is a fan favorite.
Yes, thank you, Brady. Thank you. And I'm glad I will still claim that I am a Ram for life. You know, from high school to college, I've been a Ram all throughout my years. So I will always try to come back and visit, you know, watching the games and being on the field to support the new Rams that are coming in, because that's where my stable grounds are. And even though I'm playing at Sam Houston State, I still have ties to Colorado State. So,
Sam Houston State, my man. We'll be watching. We'll probably be reaching out to you at some point. We'd love to keep the relationship going. And we got to get you back in fantasy football next year. You got to redeem yourself.
Yeah, I do. 4-8 is not what I want to do. I've done too many losses in a season. I need a winning season.
Who you got? You got me this week, or who? I don't even know.
I don't even know, Brady. That's a good question.
I don't even know who I'll wait until like right before kickoff tonight. I got my Thursday night special coming up next, Ellison. Any suggestions? Cowboys going to cover against the Saints? It's -4.
No, the Cowboys have been struggling a little bit. But I think they're going to do pretty good and whip up on the Saints. You know, I'm not too confident in their offensive quarterback. So,
all right, I'm going to. Oh,
he
yeah,
played with the Broncos too, didn't he?
Well, I think they just announced too. It's going to be Taysom Hill instead. So they're going to be running around, and we'll see if that style will work tonight against
we'll
the Cowboys.
See if that works.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Ellison, my friend, appreciate you, and it's been an absolute honor to call you a friend. And man, we just love to be able to text you and shoot a quick text and say, hey, let's get you on the program. And you're just so awesome and always willing to jump on with us.
Yeah, you're a great friend too, Brady. I'm glad we were able to build this relationship.
All right, my man. Well, we'll stay in touch. Congratulations to you. I know you're going to do big things, and we'll be looking out for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You enjoy the rest of your show.
All right, man. That's Ellison Hubbard, former Colorado State Ram, now Sam Houston State. How about that? He made his announcement right there. There, he's set. Would he come back? I don't know. He says it's set in stone. He can't say it's not, right? But I got to ask. That would be cool. 39 minutes after the hour, Thursday night special coming up next. Angel, are you ready for this? It's big. All right, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
I expect you boys to go out there and not take this team lightly, because I promise you, they're going to come at you with everything they've got.
From the soles of your feet, with every ounce of blood you've got in your body, lay it on the line until the final whistle blows.
Thursday night special time, Angel. We've got to, you know what? I'm resetting this thing. The Thursday night special, it's time for the reset button. Because last week I didn't do so well on Thanksgiving. I went 1-2. That was tough. I called all the right teams to win or lose, but I didn't get the spreads. I didn't get the spreads right. Yeah. And I gotta make a confession here. When I made my pick, I just wanna say what the actual spread was -4.5 Cowboys. You know what the spread is now?
What is it?
It's -6. Mm. What happened in 5 hours?
It was your comment about Taysom Hill.
Probably.
So they had to change it.
So the Saints are going with that. They just got worse. Well, they made this announcement yesterday, didn't they? And things have changed a lot.
I think maybe there was a rumor about Ezekiel Elliott, so he might be playing. That might have influenced that spread a bit.
And he's playing, right? That's the last I heard.
I would assume so if it jumped up 2 points.
Usually that's the case. So this is tough, man. I'm looking for an undefeated December. We absolutely need it. We desperately need it. November was rough. I had 3 wins, I think. And that was because there were 3 games on last Thursday for Thanksgiving that helped me out a little bit. So we're looking for an undefeated month here. This is tough, though, because the Cowboys have been struggling. They're getting hit with the injury bug. Really, ever since the Broncos lost, they haven't been right. They had the blowout win against the Falcons, but they've lost 3 out of their last 4. When this team looked like a Super Bowl contender, and now you look at it and you say, how are they going to get this thing right? They lose a close one to the Raiders. They get not really blown out, but an uninspiring performance against the Chiefs a few weeks ago. And then we all know what happened with the Broncos. Broncos country showed up at Dallas. I mean, that was crazy. So can they get it right? They got 3 road games. They're at the Saints. They're at Washington. Then they're at the Giants. Then they're home against Washington again. It's a weird schedule. The Saints, meanwhile, they're done with the Trevor Siemian thing, it looks like. That lasted a short while. The Saints have dropped. Now, it kind of looked like they were going to be in playoff contention, right? They were there. Then they dropped 4 in a row. Lost to the Falcons, lost to the Titans, lost to the Eagles, lost to the Bills, got smoked by the Bills. So can the Saints get it right? The Taysom Hill starting quarterback world, is that going to go? The Cowboys are -6. You know what? We might as well just go for the Hail Mary. I'm going to take the spread now. I like the Dallas Cowboys -6. Kamara's out as well, so I like the Cowboys -6. They are getting the job done.
Hold on to your butts.
I'd like to join your posse, boys, but first I'm going to sing a little song.
That's
Prescott
fitting.
Has time. Burns coming at him. Gets away. Prescott looking to run.
Let's go, Dak.
I want to be a cowboy, baby.
Prescott going for it all for Cooper. He's got it.
Yes.
The only thing else I got to say is,
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Oh,
big toss.
Oh! And a walk in. What a play. I think Elliott's okay.
That's a good tune right there. That's a good job, Angel. Perfect one for it. The Dallas Cowboys. I like the Cowboys. Obviously, I should just take the 4.5, but because that's what I placed. That's when I made my pick this morning. But you know what?
It's
2 points, right? What's 2 points? That's what I've said all year. And
it's a field goal. You know, it'll come down to that.
It always does, man. It always does. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. What a fast-moving program. If you guys missed the Ellison Hubbard interview, go back and listen to it. It'll be available at thewholeshow.com or 1310kfk.com. We'll be right back.
Someone's winning $1,000 this year with KFKA's Cash for Christmas. Find out how at 1310kfk.com.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310KFKA.
So 2.5 years ago, who had Addazio being the first one fired when all three coaches were hired that same year? It was Ed McCaffrey for UNC, Carl Durrell for CU, and Steve Addazio for CSU. They all came in at the same time, and well, McCaffrey didn't have that first season. They didn't play football in his first year. So, you know, no harm, no foul. We're still in the honeymoon process, right? We're in the honeymoon phase with Ed McCaffrey. And I think you're going to be in the honeymoon phase for a while there, Angel.
No, the vacation is starting to wind down a bit. We're starting to get back to reality. Let's get back to work.
So okay.
It was a nice little time, but let's get back to work.
How many does it got to win next year for you to be like, all right, we're good?
We got to win some conference games, for sure.
So 2 or 3 conference games, and then maybe one or two non-conference games?
I'd like to see 5 or 6 wins.
5 or 6 wins. I think it's doable. 2 or 3 more. We can do that.
It's progress.
It's progress. Great show today. So much fun. We started off with Kevin Lytle. I believe Joe Parker speaking to the media. I will try to log on to that at 2 o'clock, and we'll see what Mr. Parker has to say about moving on from Steve Addazio. Great chat with Kevin Lytle. Excellent chat with Ellison Hubbard, former Ram. Congratulations to him going to Sam Houston State. He's a solid football player, an amazing guy. And we appreciate him giving us some time today. It's not an easy thing. I know there's going to be a lot of players that are bummed out on the Addazio side that were brought here. That's how this thing goes. It's why it can be such a tough business at times. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado. We got UNC Bears basketball tonight against Montana State. Don't miss it.